And now, our story continues. Elizabeth Spott was rapidly gaining confidence in the role she had assumed in her effort to win back the love of her husband, the love she thought she had lost when in a moment of anger she had revealed her true self to him. And Elizabeth was well equipped for the part she was playing. She was a beautiful woman, possessed of a seeming simplicity and pleasantness, which, though insincere, was a highly perfected art. For some time now, she had pretended to be the devoted wife and companion, thoughtful and considerate of her husband's comfort, sympathetic and never nagging about his long hours away from home. And her home was her most effective weapon, for she used it as a backdrop against which she presented a charming picture. She was using this prop now, seated in a comfortable chair in her living room, well poised and distinctively groomed. It was almost noon, and for several minutes she had been expecting Dr. Paul to arrive home for lunch.
Paul?
Yes, Elizabeth?
Come in, darling.
Hello.
Paul, dear, this is wonderful. I was so excited.
Hello again.
Darling, my lipstick wasn't the tongue. Here's a handkerchief. I was so excited when you called and said you'd be home for lunch.
Is that so exciting?
Of course it is. Sit down, darling. Won't be ready for a few minutes. An occasion, Paul. An event. You should have seen Doris. Practically swooned.
Doris did what?
Why? You know, she worships her. She wouldn't have been more thrilled if I told her the Duke of Windsor was coming. And she hasn't been out of the kitchen since. Heaven only knows what we're having. She wouldn't tell me. But it must be something wonderful.
And all because I show up at my own house for lunch. It's amazing.
You don't realize what it means to us, Paul. Seems like we go actually for days without seeing you. Especially here of late.
Yes, I suppose I haven't been very considerate of you, have I?
No, it isn't that, Paul. You know, I'm not one to feel neglected. There's some social obligations in a town like Elkhorn City. We haven't been out together since the country club died.
Yes, I know.
And there are three or four invitations that I feel especially guilty about. So hard continually to make excuses for you, dear. And that isn't the important thing, darling. I want you here at home with me. That isn't so terribly hard to understand, is it? But a wife should want a little time alone with her husband. Especially when he's such a very nice, such a very attractive husband.
Blarney, that's what you're giving me. I don't believe a word of it.
It isn't even, you know it. You realize what a complex creature a woman is, Paul?
Sure, I know all about women.
Uh-huh. What do you know about them?
Well, they're an interesting compound of magnesium, calcium, phosphorus, iodine, and iron. Worth on our present inflated market, I should say about $1.12.
Oh. You doctors may know our chemistry, but you'll never analyze our minds or our emotions. You'll never know what we really are.
Well, what are you?
Whirlpool of depth and danger. That's what Byron said. What a whirlwind is ahead, and what a whirlpool of depth and danger is all the rest of us. Don't you believe it?
Oh, I don't know. I remember something someone else said, too. Be to her virtues very kind. Be to her faults a little blind. Let all her ways be unconfined, and clap your padlock on her mind.
That's unfair.
That's another man's analysis.
And it only proves how little all of you know. You'll never know us because we're unlike. Unpredictable, uncertain, hard to please, variable, perverse, and contradictory. Take me, for instance. Perhaps I have been feeling a little neglected, Paul. I don't like being away from you. I want you here at home all the time. Never the necessity of sharing you with anyone. Yet so much of the thrill of being your wife is in going out with you publicly, seeing the admiring looks you always receive, both men and women, but especially the women, because I know they're seeing many of the same things in you that I do. I realize that you belong to me and they can't have you. by a tadpole.
Of course. I thought all women were instinctively feline.
Perhaps we are. I know I'd scratch and claw to keep what's mine. Sometimes I almost feel that I'd like to. It gives me some reason to demonstrate my possessiveness.
Really? I better watch my step.
Oh, I do love you, darling.
You do?
See, here I am saying all the nice complimentary things a man should be saying to the woman. What's the matter, darling? That's your cue to put your arms around me, isn't it? You slipping, am I?
Oh, Elizabeth.
You haven't forgotten that, darling.
Ah, you don't know what it means to me. Seeing you like this again. Acting, light-hearted and gay, human, loving. It's finding you again, Elizabeth. Realizing how terrible it's been not having you.
I feel so different, Paul. So much better. You know, you haven't kissed me like that in a long time. I know now that everything's going to be all right.
Oh, it couldn't be any other way, darling. Not when we found so much happiness together.
We will again, won't we, Paul? Always. What's happened can't be so terribly important, then.
That's in the past, Elizabeth. It's forgotten. There's no reason to think about it ever again. And this other thing, the juvenile problem, that's almost finished now. We'll have lots of time.
Yeah, that's the important thing. Having you here. Knowing you're near when I need someone to turn to. You won't suddenly plunge into something else, will you? Oh, I do wish you'd leave things like this juvenile problem to the authorities. People like Dan.
Well, I wouldn't have given it so much time, Elizabeth, if I hadn't felt it was so important to Ricky.
Well, think of what he's done, Paul. His background. Boy like that worth helping.
Yes, a boy like that particularly is worth helping. There's a great deal at stake. His future growth, his spiritual development. A lot depends on what happens. I know it looks like he's done a pretty bad thing, and I grant that he has, but he isn't a bad boy. Ricky has a good many admirable qualities. I don't feel that I can stand by and see them lost.
What do you think he's done with him?
I don't know. Public sentiment's against him. Unfortunately, it's Jonathan who's standing that up. But there are some things in his favor. His voluntary confession, the fact that it's the first offense, his age. Quite a few extenuating circumstances, I think. I had something in mind. As a matter of fact, I thought we might talk about it, Elizabeth.
What is it, Paul?
Ricky might have to serve some time. If he does have to, I don't know, it's a voluntary confession, so parole might be out of the question. But if it could be arranged to have him released on probation.
What do you mean?
Well, if someone were to assume complete responsibility for him, some responsible person who could assure the court that every effort would be made to rehabilitate him, they might be persuaded to believe.
You mean... Oh, no, Paul. You aren't thinking of having him paroled into your custody.
Well, I was thinking of something of the sort.
Oh, can't be.
Yes, I'm very serious. We could do a lot for the boy. I told you, he has a good many fine qualities. He's just never had the environment, the security, and direction a boy needs. Someone to help and advise him. I don't know. I thought it might be rather nice having a young person around. He might enjoy it. And it would mean a lot to salvage a boy like Ricky.
Oh, good heavens, Paul. Oh, surely you're joking. You mean bring him here into our house?
You can't see him, huh?
I most certainly can. Darling, I've just been saying that I never have an opportunity to see you, to be with you. I'm always sharing you as it is. You're almost a public institution now, Paul. We share our home life, the little time we have to ourselves. Share it with a boy like that. I just wouldn't hear of it, Paul. Now, that's all there is to it.
So this was the idea Dr. Paul had in mind. The idea he had mentioned to Virginia Martin. But where Miss Martin had wished for the chance to help Ricky, Elizabeth Bott, given the opportunity, refused to consider it. A reaction that was a true reflection of the opposite characters of the two women so close to Dr. Paul.